This morning we continue the series, Moses, Follow the Fire, and this morning we're thinking about passing on the fire, as Gary said, mentoring. And we are in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 and following, and this is the setting. Moses has, of course, been raised in the household of Pharaoh for 40 years, and then Moses spent 40 years on the backside of the desert as God molded him and prepared him for ministry. And then God called him in the burning bush, and Moses led the children of Israel for 40 years. God has told Moses he's not going to make it into the promised land, and he needs to pass on the baton of leadership to his protege, Joshua. So listen to these words as Moses passes on the baton of leadership. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I'm now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said, and the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, when he destroyed them along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must also do to them all that I have commanded you to do. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. And you must divide it among them as an inheritance. The Lord himself will go before you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. Well, we continue the series, and we're heading towards the conclusion of this series on Moses, and I hope you've enjoyed it. We've talked about the seasons of Israel and Moses and our own seasons in life. This morning, we're looking at passing on the fire. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this old farmer, and he took his nephew camping, and his nephew had 5 degrees, one of the smartest people around, and so in the middle of the night, he woke up his nephew, and he said, look at the night sky. What does that tell you? And the brilliant nephew said, I see millions of stars. And the old farmer said, no, but what does that tell you? And nephew thought for a moment, he said, well, astronomically, it tells me that there's millions of galaxies. And meteorologically, it tells me that it's going to be a great, beautiful day tomorrow. And theologically, it tells me that God is a great creator. What does it tell you? The old farmer shook his head and said, it tells me someone stole our tent. You know, no matter how smart you are, you can always learn some lessons in life, can't you? And we can be taught by all kinds of people. I'm a big fan of Coach John Wooden, who's obviously a Purdue alumnus. And you may have noted that his jersey, his basketball jersey, just went for a record $264,000. Isn't that unbelievable? It's hanging down at Bruno, so you can look at that when you're getting your pizza down there. But, you know, one of the most amazing things about John Wooden was not only that he was coach of the UCLA Bruins for quite some time, he had 665 wins and won 10 championships in the years leading up to 1975. But one of the most amazing things about him, his players said, was not just his leadership as a basketball coach, but that he mentored them in life and how to live life to his fullest. He wrote a number of books, and a number of books have been written about him, but he had a pyramid of success, which built the character qualities of leadership in life, and it's an incredible tool for leadership and mentoring. I highly recommend that. Someone once said this, you're not a success without a successor. You're not a success without a successor. And let me ask you this morning, who are you mentoring in life? Who are you mentoring in life? I think these words from Moses to Joshua and the story of Moses and Joshua open some insights to us this morning on mentoring others. And so if you'll take a few moments and walk back into this story with me, there Moses was with Joshua, and Moses had spent an incredible amount of time with Joshua. This is a key point in Israel's leadership. And so Moses is about to commission Joshua. They're about ready to go over into the promised land across the Jordan River. And the challenges that lay in the promised land were really incredible challenges. And so Moses was taking Joshua and commissioning him. But this wasn't done at a spur of the moment. The truth is, all along the way, God had not only been shaping the children of Israel in these 40 years in the wilderness, but Moses had been mentoring Joshua for this incredible moment as he passes on the baton of leadership. And so I think it's important for us to look at this and some of the lessons that it can teach us. And so the first thing was, I think, is that an important part of leadership is to tell, to share one's story, to tell, to share one's story. And so I think that no doubt Moses had many times taken Joshua aside and filled in to Joshua the moments in Moses' life that maybe Joshua didn't know. Moses told Joshua what it was like to grow up in the household of Pharaoh. Can you imagine it? 40 years as the grandson of Pharaoh and all the power, all the opulence, all the splendor, all the privilege. And I think Moses probably looked at Joshua and said, listen, all that glitters is not gold. All that glitters is not gold. And I think Moses also talked to Joshua about how that God had formed him in the backside of the desert for 40 years and how God had shaped him for ministry and how that God was shaping Israel. So Moses shared those stories with Joshua. And the psalmist says this, that we use for our call to worship in Psalm 78, 4 through 7, about our obligation for all of us to share our story with the next generation. It says this, we will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done, to teach their children so that the next generation would know them and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God. Who has shared their story in life with you? One of the things I've appreciated about Amy's ministry with the youth is sharing her stories with the youth. And as they share their stories with her and they sort of create new stories, you know, that's really important in our life and it really mentors young people. For me, one of the people that shaped my life was my Sunday school teacher by the name of Junior Scott, who's now gone on to be with the Lord. And Junior Scott was a farmer and a factory worker. I don't know when he found time for things because he worked second shift and then he farmed all day long and then he got up for all kinds of emergencies in the middle of the night. But he taught our Sunday school class and we would always try to get Junior Scott off the topic for Sunday school, and so he'd start telling a story, and then he'd bring that story back to wherever we were, and it was pretty amazing. But the thing that I most appreciate about him is, despite all his busyness, if we were going through something in life as teenagers, we'd go out to the farm, and Junior was busy, but he'd just say, listen, why don't you step up on the tractor, and I'm going out in the field, why don't you just ride with me, and he'd listen to our story, and then we'd go back to the house and have ice cream, and he always had a piece of wisdom to share with us, and I treasure those moments. Also, my father was not a Christian growing up, but certainly not a strong believer at all, and so my mom always wanted us to go to church camp, because she wanted us, in addition to all the other blessings of church camp, she wanted us to see men in strong leadership roles, since my father wasn't a believer, and to hear their stories of faith, and she knew that was important to us. And you know, it was really important to me, and I still look back on that. One of the things I liked about confirmation, as we've taught confirmation, is that we have folks from the church come in. Many of them are some of our older generation. They come in and share their stories of faith and life in their time in the church, and I think those stories are important to share with our youth. So the first thing in mentoring is to tell, to share your story. And the second thing is to teach, to share the lessons that you have learned. And let me ask you, who has taught you the lessons in life? And who are you teaching the lessons that you have learned? No doubt, Moses taught a lot of lessons to Joshua. And remember that moment when Joshua was on the battlefield down below and the Amalekites had defeated them the previous day. They had had a surprise attack and struck them from behind. And then they had knocked down the weak and the weary and the laggards. And then they suffered a horrible defeat. And then Moses told Joshua that he had to go to battle and to lead the Israelite army against the Amalekites. And Moses was going to go to the mountaintop and pray. And Moses prayed, and when he had his arms lifted up, the Israelites were winning the battle. But when his arms began to go down because he was tired, they began to lose. And so Aaron and Ur came around him, and one held one arm up and the other arm up. And Moses prayed the entire day, and the Israelites were victorious. That was a lesson that Moses was going to need, to trust God and trust in the power of prayer, because as soon as Joshua got across in the Jordan River into the Promised Land, the first battle would be the Battle of Jericho. Remember, with the walled cities and an incredible fortress. And so God's command to Joshua would be to circle the city for seven times and not say a word, and no doubt to pray. And then on the seventh day, to go in with battle and shout praises to God, and God would bring him the victory. And so Joshua would have to remember that lesson of trust, and an important lesson that it was. And there's other lessons as well about the Ten Commandments and how to let them rule our life, and how to treat the weak and the poor and the foreigner. And then the lesson about trusting God for daily manna and quail and how God had blessed them. And you know, it's not just to Joshua, it's also to us. This commission was given by Moses to the people, all the people, not just Joshua. But a lesson for us as parents too. Listen to this from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and following. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. All along the ways and hills and valleys of life, pour these commands into your children. Teach these lessons to them, and their lives will be different and their lives will be blessed. Jesus, when he first called the disciples, remember some of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, they were fishing. And they were fishermen, and Jesus called them. And the first lesson he taught them was to leave behind their nets and their boats and to follow him, and he would make them fishers of men. They go from fishing for fish to fishing for men. And then over the next 3.5 years, Jesus poured in lessons of faith and life into their lives to change them and prepare them for ministry. Savannah and I, when we lived in Connecticut, there was a gentleman, and he was a very wealthy and successful developer. And he sat down with me one day, we were chatting, and he was sharing his life story with me. And he shared this moment, which I thought was beautiful. He was a multimillionaire, and he was very, very successful. And he looked at me, and he said, you know, at a very young age, he was in his 40s when this happened, he said, I was extremely successful. I built a number of real estate developments in Connecticut, and I had millions of dollars. And so I built a development in Florida, and I built one of the nicest homes next to the golf course with a nice swimming pool for me and my wife. And he said, my kids were in college, and we retired to Florida for the dream life. And he said, it wasn't long, and I had the perfect day of my life. He said, I went out golfing with some friends and had a great day golfing. He said, I relaxed with a beautiful dinner with my wife, and we sat down and we were sharing some stories, and he said, I had a cocktail in my hand, and all of a sudden, he said, it hit me. He said, I looked at my wife, and I said, I forgot. She said, what? He said, I forgot the most important thing. I forgot to teach the next generation how to live. And he said, the next day he got up and he made a flight back to Connecticut, started his business again, invited his daughter and his son into the business and began to show them the ways of business and how to make a living and how to make an impact. And one of the most important things he did, one of the most significant things he did was every year or so he would do a Habitat for Humanity Builder's Blitz, and he would take a week and build a house in 1 week for a family. It was really an incredible operation to watch, but he really believed in giving back in the communities. One of the most important lessons, and so he went back to show them how to live. And so it begs the question to us, who are we teaching the lessons that we have learned? Who has taught you the lessons of life, and who are you teaching the lessons of life to? You know, sometimes people look at me and they say, well, listen, I can't teach because I've made some big mistakes in my life. And I always say, you know, some of the most important lessons that we learn are our failures, not our successes, right? I can't count the number of times that someone has come up to me in a moment and said, listen, don't make the same mistake that I made. Don't work too hard and be so busy that you don't take time for your kids. Don't put success as the most important thing. Make sure it's significance. Leave for the next generation. Leave a legacy that will last. And so whatever your successes are, but surely also whatever your failures are and your shortcomings, know those are all lessons that you can share with the next generation, and it can impact their life in a powerful way. And so we need to tell our story, and then we need to teach and share the lessons that we have learned, and finally we need to train. We need to share wisdom and coach people in the struggles of life as they try to apply those lessons. And Ben Franklin said it this way. He said, tell me and I forget. Teach me and I may remember, but involve me and I will learn. You know, when all of us try to apply the lessons of life, it becomes a struggle. And no doubt, Moses shared in the struggles of life with Joshua. And Moses showed Joshua what a struggle it was to pray every day, but he also showed him the importance of that and the priority of that in life. And Moses had shared with Joshua what it was like to hear the Israelites grumble and complain and not want to go forward with the battles that faced him with the giants. But as Moses had coached Joshua, Joshua would now be prepared to take the people across the Jordan River and into the promised land and face battles. Moses, no doubt, had shared with Joshua how difficult it was to have the faith and trust in God, for God to part the waters of the Red Sea and have the people walk across, and then how God brought the waters back down on the Egyptian army. But it was a lesson that Joshua would need to know, because the first thing he had to do was to lead the Israelites across a river swollen by a flood, the Jordan River, into the promised land. And so all those lessons meant so much in life. I don't know if you're like me, but have you been following the story of the soccer team, the 12 young wild boars from the soccer team in Thailand, and how they got trapped in the cave? And can you imagine the soccer coach wanted to do a team building exercise and so let them in this cave, and all of a sudden the flood season came and they were trapped in this 2 miles back in the cave. And one of the things that struck me about this, I'm sure the coach regretted taking them back, but the coach hung in there with them, right? And the coach taught them how to meditate, because they only had so much oxygen in that cave. And so the coach taught them how to meditate to save the oxygen. And then the coach taught them that they had to drink the water running down the walls of the cave rather than the water that was in the cave, because the water coming off the cave walls would be much purer, and the water that was below them could make them sick. And then when the SEALs finally got back there, this British group of guys that came, can you imagine, 3 hours scuba diving through this tunnel in the cave? I mean, I'll tell you, one of the most amazing scuba diving rescues I've ever seen in my lifetime, to go through the cave for 3 hours is just phenomenal. But then those SEALs went back there, and they had to teach the kids, some of them, how to swim, even. And then the next lesson was how to scuba dive. I mean, you talk about learning in one of the struggles of life applications, and they were able to get them all out, but they had to be with there in the struggles of life. And then I think about Paul mentoring Timothy. And you know, Paul didn't have kids, but he described Timothy as his beloved son in the faith, whom he loved dearly. And Paul had mentored Timothy through all the difficulties of life. And you recall that Timothy was on a number of the mission trips with Paul and had seen the riots and the earthquakes. He had seen people try to stone Paul to death. He had seen Paul beaten. They'd even been in prison together. And through all the years, Paul was pouring his life into Timothy. I think it begs the question to us, who is your Paul in life? Who's your mentor in the faith? And then who is your Timothy in life? Who are you pouring your life into? And so as Paul, in his final days and of life, writes the last letter that we know that Paul wrote, which is the book of 2 Timothy, and Paul writes it from prison to Timothy, and he sort of is giving Timothy the lessons of life and passing on his mantle of leadership to Timothy, and he says this: "You, however, know all about my teaching and my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, my sufferings, what kind of things happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from them all. But as for you, continue what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from whom you've learned it." He's saying, listen, you've seen in me that these lessons of life are lessons that you can lean on in faith, and God will be faithful, and he's been faithful in my life, and he will be faithful in your life. And so as Paul is kind of passing on the baton of faith, or the torch like they do in the Olympics, sometimes you see an older athlete with the flame lit and pass the torch on to a younger athlete in such a beautiful moment. And so in the same way, Paul is passing on this torch, this flame of fire, onto the next generation in Timothy. And he goes on to say this: "In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who judges the living and the dead, and in view of his approaching and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." And then he goes on to say this: "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who've longed for his appearing. Paul is passing on that baton of faith to Timothy. And so let me ask you, who is your Paul in life? Who is your Timothy? For those of you who think about other examples of faith, there's Naomi and Ruth. So who's your Naomi in life? Who's your Ruth? Who's your Elijah? Who's your Elisha? There's a fourth thing that we don't have time for, and you might have guessed what that fourth thing is. It's time, right? Probably the most precious commodity that any of us can have. Because the key to all these other three things is that we need to take time. We need to take time to tell our story. We need to take time to teach the lessons we have learned. We need to take time to coach people and the application of those lessons and the struggles of life. And so I encourage all of us to do that. And so Moses stood on the threshold between the wilderness and the promised land. And the River Jordan that was flooded was right next to them. And Moses shared with all the people, with Joshua, all the lessons that he had learned. And he commissioned them to go forward. And Moses knew that he was going to go forward with them. He was going to pass the baton of leadership on to Joshua. And you know, all of us need to pass on our dream to someone else and pour our life into someone else. And so in that great moment, I think Moses felt a moment of great pride. And he looks at Joshua and he says this, "Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. And you must divide it among them as an inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Who's your Moses? Who's your Joshua? Who's your Paul? Who's your Timothy? Who's your Naomi? Who's your Ruth? Who have you learned from in life, and who are you pouring your life into? I challenge us all to take the time to tell, to teach, and to train people, to tell them and share our story, to teach them the lessons we have learned, and to train them as they go through the struggles and application of those lessons. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for those who poured their lives into our life to make us who we are today. Lord, help us to be faithful to that gift and to pour our lives into others. Help us to mentor them, to share the lessons of faith and life that we can make them better and stronger as individuals and as families and also as a family of faith. Help us each and every day to be faithful to that call and help us to pour our lives into the next generation through Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, amen.